Meditation.
Depending on the quality of my mind.
You know, there's good days and bad days. And good days as well.
Feel like the waterfall of thoughts. And every now and then, a nice calm.
I can't think of anything.
This is Meditation in the City.
The Shambhala New York Podcast.
You smell that? Is that just me? We're talking about sense perceptions today. I am Dave, your host. Welcome to the podcast. Shastri Elizabeth Reed is a senior teacher in the Shambhala Buddhist tradition. She makes New York her home, and she came to New York's weekly Dharma gathering a couple of weeks ago to talk about sense perceptions, coming to our senses. What does that have to do with meditation? What is the point of dealing with our sense perceptions? Well, Elizabeth Reed is going to talk about it. Visit our website, ny.shambhala.org, for all of our upcoming courses and weekend retreats, in particular, our introductory weekend meditation intensive, which is called Shambhala Training Weekend 1, is happening the weekend of September 15th. You too can participate in a weekend of meditation. It's easy. Friday night, Saturday, and half of Sunday. If you can't do the whole weekend, you can just come to the Friday night talk, check it out, and go from there. It's on the homepage, ny.shambhala.org. Click the link for more information and to register. Shambhala Training Weekend 1, Feel Human Again. And now, here is Shastri Elizabeth Reed.
Coming to our senses. And I loved, it appeared in my mind a few weeks ago, just that phrase, and I feel like it's kind of loaded, because literally coming to our sense perceptions and coming to our senses. But I think the two are very closely related. And it seems to me that we're in a time when people are not necessarily trusting their own sense perceptions. You know, our sense perceptions are trustworthy. We, in this particular lineage of Shambhala, we see them as sacred. Some traditions want to kind of tamp them down because they are so powerful, but they are actually the way in to what we call basic goodness, the ground of basic goodness is a vast ground full of possibility, and full of the qualities for human beings that I mentioned that are innate, so that we are brave and kind and strong and tender and everything that human beings can be. But we acknowledge that we are able to connect to this space. And we do it unconsciously, but everyone has moments when you are completely present with yourself and with the world, and it's a very powerful feeling. There's a lot of confidence in it, and it does come forward when we get out of the way. So maybe you've all had experiences like that. We as human beings are blessed with these incredible faculties: sight, hearing, taste, touch. And those are the way we connect with our world, and no other way. So sense perceptions are quite potent. And meditation is not just sitting and watching our minds, but it's actually bringing our mind into our body and our body into our minds. It's a very, synchronizing body and mind. Both are equal in this tradition. So we have this ability to connect to those sense perceptions. And even though they can bring us so much pleasure and so much wisdom, there is the challenge of when, well, maybe you can let me know what you think, that they can become problematic. They can become problematic. For example, what was your experience coming here this evening with your sense perceptions? Anybody have a irritating time or a not so pleasant time? Yeah, just
smells bad.
A lot of people. Yeah, and then how did it make you feel? Did it have an impact? Yes. Getting in the way of your goals, yes. And this is a common occurrence. And the way that most of us perceive our sense perceptions many times. So, however, it's said that these perceptions are the conduit to this vast, open, incredibly potent space. So, it seems that then we need a discipline to properly connect to these sense perceptions without having them run us over or pull us down. And I think in particular New York City, senses can be completely overwhelmed. We can have that feeling of being, oh my gosh, I can't take any more of this, you know. And yet, I feel that the practice of meditation offers a way to change that, to shift that. So it seems like when today I spoke about your thoughts and the directive to accept any and every thought without judgment. This is what we do in meditation, so that basically we're befriending ourselves. We allow ourselves to see and feel, oh, there's that thought. But the directive is just to acknowledge it and not be afraid of it and not push it away. Acknowledge and return to the moment. But that simple acknowledgement is your way of finding out who you are. You know, it's befriending oneself. You have those friends and you know they all have their moods and the things they do. And you love them anyway. You accept them completely, usually. But to do that for ourselves, it is so important to actually be so gentle with ourselves, be so kind to ourselves, especially in this world when there's so much demand and so much cynicism. And we have to do it for ourselves. You know, we are each an amazing human being that will never appear on the earth again. And we have a possibility of being that fully, being met fully. So it's that simple discipline of acknowledging and returning to the breath is learning how not to have judgment about our experience, about walking down the streets of New York City. Oh, that guy's in the way, he's got their cell phone, I can't get by them. You know, judge. But it's just what is happening. It's just what is. It's things as they are, we speak about that. That is just our life unfolding in front of us. And we get angry. You know, some things we love and many, many things we don't. We don't want that. And I think a friend, I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and I'll just repeat what I heard from her, but she said that she had read a scientific study that said that as human beings, we are more prone to taking in negativity, negative thoughts, that there's a certain part of our brain that will take in negativity. You know, we want to be make sure we're not being attacked. You know, it's a lot of sort of negative things that we take in. And the positive things, not so much. And the interesting part about this study was, my friend said something about, well, they say that to really make an impression on the brain with a positive, something positive that happens, that you have to allow at least 10 seconds of staying with that. I mean, 10 seconds is quite a long time, but it's just 10 seconds. But there's something about giving ourselves more time that I think is being eradicated in this day and age, that 10 seconds to actually see someone's face, you know, or to actually see your own hand. You know, we might do that. But just how do we do that? I wanted to read a passage from this book called True Perception, and it was written by Chögyam Trungpa Rinpoche, and he was a great believer in the arts and the art of being a human being as well. And there is one passage in here that has always sort of haunted me, because I think it does show the path that we take with some of our slowly coming down with some of our sense perceptions. So if you allow me to read from this, I think it's also an amazing book that you might want to look into. Uh-oh, I didn't bring my glasses. We'll see if I can read this. Maybe I can't even read it. Oh, let me see. Thank you. That might help. We'll see. Yeah, that's good. So this is, I'm sure they look crazy, but. So this is about visual perception. Usually we are restless with our visual perception. Even when we see something fantastically beautiful, we are shy in actually relating with it. That shyness is connected with aggression. We are unable to see things properly as they really are. If we see beautiful things, we are so fascinated and interested. We would like to touch and handle them. We would like to smell them and hear them. On the other hand, when we see something ugly or terrible, such as dog shit in the street, we don't want to touch it. You don't want to see it. You want to avoid the whole thing. Yuck. It is very interesting how our mind and our psychology work, how perception conducts our life. But we really don't give into it. We don't let go completely. That doesn't mean we have to abandon beautiful things, but it's interesting how we reject things that have the slightest offensiveness to us. We don't like it at all. And if we do like something, it's a slight suggestion of promise. We like it so much that we want to get right into it. The result is that usually we don't really look at anything at all. Particularly if we have lots of money, if we see a beautiful fabric, beautiful painting, or beautiful item, we just want to buy it. That's our first impulse. Then we become afraid of it. We wonder whether it's worth buying, how much it costs, whether it's the real thing or not. We get panicky, step back a little, and get completely confused. By then, we have no idea whether we want it or not. Our minds are so confused. So the problem comes from not being able to spend enough time looking at things as they are, directly, properly, clearly. So it's a question of reality, how we view reality. Those are words that might resonate with you. I don't know, but they've resonated with me. And so I thought, given that maybe we could just do a small sensory exercise. And what I would like us to do is basically, in a moment, just to look at your own hand as though you've never seen it before, and perhaps you never have. But you could just begin by looking at the palm of your hand, and just rather than when any kind of idea of judging or storyline comes in, just go back to looking at your hand. Just look and be curious. Be curious as though you're finding out what it is. So we could start by choosing a hand and looking at our palm. And I'll tell you when I want you to turn it over. So just relax your vision and really be curious about your hand. And you can just, actually, you can do whatever. You can turn it over. You can look at it from any angle. But let yourself fall into that hand. And now it might be interesting to bring up your other hand right next to it and let's see what is the different. And the next part of this is, if you are agreeable to it, you could turn to the person next to you and just touch hands, like just without any idea of an experience, but just touch your hands together, you with the person next to you, if you want to. You don't have to. You can but just simply touch and let that experience be what it is, just for a tiny bit. What is the change? Just let your fingers, any part of your hands touch and experience that other energy, if there is. Okay, you can let go or not, if as the case may be. Thank you for engaging in that. So, any comments about any of that? Anything interesting?
I realized I found it very difficult to separate curiosity from judgment of some kind.
Curiosity from judgment?
Yeah, I started with judgment. I mean, it was a positive judgment, but it was still a judgment. And then when I went to curiosity, my questions still had a judging aspect to them, comparative judging kind of aspect. So.
Yeah.
It was hard to just be really curious. I mean, I got there, but...
You did get there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it... Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else?
When looking at my own hand, I found it very compelling to, like, try to touch it with my other hand. Like, oh, what's that little thing? I wonder what that, you know... Sort of like what you're talking about when you're looking at something and you want to touch it or taste it or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. And did you do that?
I tried not to, but I did. Yeah.
Good. That's being curious.
Touching the other person gave me a sense of security and connection and... it was a wonderful feeling, even though it was very slight.
Interesting. So you felt, say a little bit more about how did your body feel?
Well, my hands tend to shake anyway. I have a tremor.
Uh-huh.
But touching her hand, I didn't have one.
Huh.
So I felt secure, and I felt like I could stay there forever.
Thank you. So it seems just that there is an experience of appreciation, one way or the other. You know, appreciating seeing something and maybe hanging out a little bit longer, you know, hanging out a little bit longer with our visual perceptions or with any sense perception that we have. Because I think what happens first is that when we first perceive something, there's sort of a shock. I mean, it's very quick, but we really don't know. You know, maybe that first touch of somebody's hand, what is that? You know, just this kind of shock. And then we quickly fill in with our judgment. We quickly fill in. So it's, but sometimes that shock leads to suddenly we're completely there. Our eyes are open and everything seems much brighter, almost too bright. And then our mind becomes very powerful and sensitive just with that one perception. And then I think it's where do we go from there? You know, where do we go from there? Because we think, yes, I want to see clearly, I want to see directly, I want to see what is, but we get the whole kit and caboodle, you know? We get everything very, very brilliantly. But the other thing that happens, I think, to ameliorate that is that with meditation, we are also creating a much bigger space in which our experience occurs. So any time we let go at the end of the breath, we're inviting more space in our world because we are not hanging on for dear life. We want something to be this way, to be that way, but we are inviting more space. So we literally begin to feel more space around our experience, if that makes sense. Sometimes, you know, you're so connected to this one thing, and then suddenly you realize, I don't even know where I am right now, you know? Or we're eating our food and we're kind of in the middle of our plates. We have no idea who we're even eating with. So those things began to be more open. Like we have more space around us, which gives us more freedom. Does that make, yes? A question?
Had that experience dramatically in walking in the morning. I walk every morning about 3 miles. Nobody walks with me. I'm in a rather secluded area. And I noticed a long time ago that when I slowed down my walk to almost a certain speed, that something dramatically happened to how I saw what was happening around me.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And you know, I think it's not that we have to necessarily move in slow motion, but even if you think of 10 seconds, you know, it's not all that much time, you know, but we can give more time to our experience and create that time and space in which, you know, that insight comes from that space. That's when our natural wisdom comes forward, when we actually allow that kind of space, rather than everything being just so quick and fast and got that, get this, you know. There's no time for our wisdom, our humor too. That's another thing that happens. With more space, there's more humor. There's more humor and there is more inquisitiveness. And I think if you think of the times in your life when you're really happy and settled and feeling very confident, you become very curious about what's going on. It's like you have the strength not to worry so much about yourself, but suddenly it's like, oh, I wonder if those guys are together. Or, you know, you have a natural curiosity that we had as kids. That comes forward again when we are very settled and sort of okay with ourselves, you know, okay with ourselves. So these things come along as you practice meditation. There is more humor and appreciation. And also just so much freedom, you know, even if you have a little bit of a taste of this. Suddenly you're walking down the street and you think, there's nobody telling me what to do. There's, you know, nothing's happening. It's so free. The world is wide open. I can do what I want to, you know, on some level. But the taste of that freedom is so powerful. And you want more of it. And it does exist. It's very profound. And working with our sense perceptions in this way can actually make that freedom more available to us. But it is really, you know, interesting to work with it. Yes.
How do feelings fit in with sense perception? I mean, the other day I looked out at the river and I was in the moment and I thought, this is so...
The other day you had what, did you say?
I looked at the river.
Oh, you looked at the river, yes.
And yes. I felt very in the moment.
Yes.
And I felt that all the problems that normally preoccupy me were gone. So I'm just wondering how you those two things are interrelated.
Well, I would say that sense perceptions are happening in the moment. There's the river. That's the moment. You were, and that's it. You know, if you stay with that one moment, that moment is complete in itself. Each moment is complete. If you are with, like right now, with this moment, that's it, you know. And usually, well, for me, the natural world is an amazing place to encounter that. You know, I was on the beach on Sunday, and I was lying down and looking at the ocean, and suddenly I had this view of where the water met the sky, and I had no idea. Like, it was so indescribable, but it was that feeling of amazement, just amazement, you know. And the natural world is always serving up things like that. It's just an amazing place to experience sense perception and to let it be. You know, it doesn't pander to us. It's just completely what it is. It's so what it is that it's amazing. We can learn from it. You know, how to be like that water, how to be like that fire. We talk about the importance of connecting with the elements and enriching ourselves. It's so enriching. That moment has stayed with me, that one perception of water and sky. You know, unbelievable.
So how does the situation that you described earlier, when we're so involved in our little task and eating all that, how does that relate to when, because you brought out true perceptions, which really goes into the process of art and art making, and so that scenario that you described when we're like this, how does that relate to when you're in the creative act and you're so in it, and you're focused, and you may forget your surroundings.
Yes. Well, I think that's a different kind of focus. That is, I mean, that's also what we're training our minds to be able to do, is to put our attention where we want it to be. But I think when we're mindlessly, it's more like not even knowing what we're doing. And there you are completely engaged. And then I can see that that can be, I think, does that make sense?
It does. But even bringing that up, it made me wonder, how can I bring, because you brought up curiosity, how can I bring, while in that focus and of creating, usually it's more when I work with my hands, how can I bring in curiosity and including?
Yeah.
All around me as well?
Good question. That would be a wonderful experiment, you know? Even to just pause and literally feel the space you're in. Like right now, you know? We're in this space. And I think it's much more, it's much less self-absorbed when we're able to do that. That we are not such a big deal. Like, we're part of this whole space. I can only sit here and teach because I'm not, I'm part of this whole thing. It's a communication, you know.
This might be kind of a weird question. Where does language come into this? It seems to me like one thing language does is distance us, if not from the moment, that at least from our senses, right? We sort of put an obstacle in between us and the actual world, so.
Yes, interesting question. I think language, well, so much is indescribable, and yet as human beings, we need to communicate. But I think that, like, that first hit is non-conceptual. We're actually inviting non-conceptual experience. So we don't have a concept around it. We're allowing it just to come in raw, you know, fully. And I do think, well, language, I guess a thought then would come in and nail it and call it something or assess it right away. So that's something we're trying to let go of. And it is a lot of letting go. Because we say, oh, they say meditation is really about the complete relaxation of the mind. But how does one completely relax? It's letting go and letting go and letting go and over and over and over and over, you know, because we hold on. We're so, you know, protective. It's a lot of letting go, in my experience. That makes sense?
Yes, yeah, thank you.
Thanks for your question. I don't know that I have any more to say, but I just hope that you work with your sense perceptions and give yourself a little more time with how you're touching your world, even literally. I could grab this piece, I could grab this and drink it, or I could actually contact it and honor it, you know? Like what we do with our hands, how we touch our world. It's a big deal. It's a big, big deal. And I think when you see some of our great teachers, I've seen in the past, the way they handle their things is so graceful. It's so beautiful because they are so aware. They're there with everything. And then it's naturally graceful. But it's simply, they're, most of them, moment by moment by moment, are there with their perceptions, with their gestures. It's very touching to see that, and we can have that just by giving ourselves a little more time and giving the world a little more respect. You know, with so much we have as human beings, so much to honor and respect each other, for one thing. Thank you.
Thank you, Shastri Elizabeth Reed. Thank you. And thank you all for listening, for using your sense perceptions to hear and experience the podcast. Visit our website, ny.shambhala.org, for all of our upcoming courses and weekend retreats. Again, Shambhala Training Weekend 1 is happening the weekend of September 15th. Lots of other great courses and offerings coming up. Check it out. Email us at podcast@shambhalanyc.org. Your questions, comments, suggestions. If you are in a different city, there's probably a Shambhala Meditation Center near you. Look us up. But if you are in the New York City area, come to our weekly Dharma gathering. For real. You can come. You can hear these talks live and in person. Meet the other students, the other meditators. It's great. Do it. Say hi. Later.